have you here. We don't pass out a paper bulletin anymore. You can find that online at our website, and everything that you need to know about today is there, as well as our app. It's all right there. So jump in and be part of that. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? What we're going to do is we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing three songs, worship the Lord together, and go on. You're going to see the kids program. We've never done it like this, but because of the fun world that we're living in, it's been put on video today, so we'll see that in a few moments too. So anyway, great to have all of you here. If you are visiting, just relax, no worries, participate as you care to, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the privilege and the honor of being together, being online. Lord, my passion of my heart is that we would come and adore you. We would come and worship you, bow down before you like the Magi did. And Lord, as we hear about them today, may we just take something that challenges our hearts, be glorified in every way. Thanks so much, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen, friends.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, let's worship. If you're new, the words will be projected. Sing along if you care to.
excited this morning. That's never happened in 40 years. Oh, yes. We worship you this morning, Lord. How we thank you, Jesus. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so Messiah, the name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sin. Some from
Amen. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Hallelujah. Join with me as we pray. The angel said, peace on earth, goodwill to men. That was never intended to be a politically brokered peace, although that's a good thing. It's about peace in the human heart. Let's pray that around the world today, that people find the peace of Jesus in their hearts. Amen? That's a lasting peace. Father, we thank you. The reason that Jesus came, Jesus the Messiah, came was to bring peace into our hearts, into our minds. Far transcends what any political leader could ever bring. And I'm so grateful for that. God, a peace that resides even when chaos and tumult and uncertainty reigns, Lord, in a land, peace remains in our hearts. And we're so thankful for that. And I pray that around the world that God, that you would just help your people, help us to be the peacemakers and bring peace to people, your peace, a peace that the world cannot give. Help us to bring the one, Jesus, who brings peace to our hearts. Thank you, Father. We trust you for this. Amen, friends?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Thanks so much. Hallelujah. Amen. Ah, Tristan, nice to see you. Welcome home. Just stand up, would you? Just stand up right where you are, Tristan. Good to see all of you. Woo, Tristan. Great to have you here, man. Thanks. What a nice surprise, dude. Love it. Love it. It's great. You look like you're well, are you? You're surviving? Okay. It's good to have you. Wow. Good to have you back. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just want to welcome any of you that might be visiting the Seaport for the very first time, whether you're in person or online. You can do it the same way, digitally, contactless, as they say. Great way to connect with us. We don't think that you found us by happen chance or circumstance. We really believe that God brought you here, and we'd love to connect with you because we believe that God can use this church to bless your life, and we believe that God can use you to bless this church. So it's a mutual thing. So we want to connect with you. And the easiest way to do that is to text the word welcome to the number that's on the screen, and you connect with us. What happens when you do that is you get a little link that comes back. Press on that link, fill out the quick little card, and the process then is complete. Or if you prefer to do it old school and fill out paper, you can do that at the Welcome Center here as well. So we just welcome any of you that are visiting with us. We'd love to connect with you. And we like to applaud just to simply say thanks for being here. So we're going to do that right now. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being online with us. We appreciate that. Woo! Hallelujah. Great to have all of you here. Well, this is the first time ever. And so our kids program is going to be completely and totally on video. I'm going to kind of miss the fun things that happen. The unplanned things, you know, that always go with every kid's program, you know. And so the program's just a little over 5 minutes on video. So while you're watching this, smile and laugh and pray that the COVID thing is done so we can go back to normal, okay? Amen? Amen. Come on, let's watch. Woo! Come on. Our kids.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today for our special Christmas program. We are going to begin today by reading a special book called Christmas in the Manger, adapted by the story from Nola Buck. So I'm going to get cozy in my Christmas chair. You sit back and get cozy in yours, and let's take a listen to the story.
I am the star that shines in the east. I light the stable for man and beast. I am the donkey soft and gray. I carried his mother from far away. We are the sheep with curly horn. We guard the stall where Jesus is born. I am the shepherd who watches the sheep. Tonight a holy watch I keep. We are the wise men, gifts we bring. For baby Jesus, our newborn king. We are the cows, strong as steel. Before God's only Son, we kneel. I am the camel, I came from afar. Bring in the wise men who followed a star. I am Mary, the mother mild. How I love my tiny child. Look, see the baby asleep in the hay? He is the reason for Christmas Day.
Thank you for listening to our story. Now our preschoolers are going to sing us some Christmas songs.
Look at this candy cane, what do you see?
Stripes that are red like the blood shed for me.
White for my Savior who's sinless and pure.
Red is for Jesus my Lord, that's for sure.
Turn it around and a staff you will see.
Jesus my shepherd will come back for me.
Candies in your hand and turn them, you will see.
The M becomes a W, an E, and then a 3.
They tell the Christmas story, it's one I'm sure you know.
It took place in the stable a long, long time ago.
The E is for East, where the star shone oh so bright.
The M is for Manger, where the baby Jesus slept that night.
The 3 is for the wise men bearing their gifts. They say they came.
W is for worship. Hallelujah, praise his name.
As you eat these candies or share them with a friend, remember the spirit of Christmas and never let it end.
The colors of Christmas are bright and they're true. They tell of God's great love for me and for you.
Blue is the sky where the angels appeared as they sang peace on earth to the shepherds who feared.
Silver is the color of the bright Christmas star which guided the wise men from countries afar.
Gold tells of their gifts for the baby that day who they found in a manger asleep on the hay.
Purple for suffering and death on a hill.
Red is the blood that Jesus did spill.
Green shows that Jesus arose from the dead and saved us and freed us just as he said.
John 3:14-17. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Amen. Special thanks to Melissa and Debbie for putting that together and Carolyn for shooting it and editing it. Thank you so much for all that. Give them another round of applause. It was short and simple. But it takes a lot of work to pull that all off. We didn't want to miss that. We're working really hard around here. COVID has changed everything that we do, but we're working hard to do some things differently. I was looking at some pictures of this past year from drive-in services, the services on the lawn. It's been a crazy year. It's been a crazy year. But somehow we've risen to the challenge. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for that? And just kept going. Glory to God. I just kept going. And thanks for being part of that. Let me just quick announcements. There is no service on Wednesday night, but there is Thursday night, Christmas Eve. And let me just say this to you. I was praying, saying, God, is there something different you want us to do on Christmas Eve? And I felt like the Lord dropped this into my heart. And so this is going to be a portion of the service. There'll be special music and other kinds of things. But I felt like I wanted the kids to do more than listen to a story this year. I felt like I wanted the kids involved. So this is what we're going to do, this gift to Jesus. I want you, mom and dad, to have a conversation with your kids and say, what is it that you want to give to Jesus this year? What do you want to do for Jesus this year? Have them write it on a little heart of any kind, the shape, little heart, whatever you want to make it out of. Put it in a nicely wrapped box. Bring it to the church service on that night, on Christmas Eve. And then they're going to come up here, and they're going to meet me up here, and they're going to speak into the microphone what's in their box. And then they're going to take it and do something very special with it. And so we just need to know that you're going to do that. Let me tell you what we're trying to do, is I'm trying to get them to focus upon that Jesus is worthy of them giving something instead of them receiving. And I want them to embrace that. And I want them to be involved in their church. It's not going to be on video. It's going to be live right here. Okay? So work with me on that. Let us know that you're going to do that. And that's not the whole service. That's a piece of the service. Okay? Can you help us with that? And make it really special for the... I'm not going to make it special for you. I want the kids. I'm watching stuff and it's just ripping me to shreds. Our kids are more depressed than they've ever been. Our kids are feeling disconnected. Kids 11 years of age killing themselves online. It's horrific what's happening in our culture right now. And if I can do a little thing to combat that and let them know that this is their church, they're very valued, they're important, I'm going to do it. Amen? Amen. So join with me. Can you do it? Come on, join with me. Just a little piece. I want them to know their connection to Jesus. Hallelujah. So help me with that. We are going to begin something FPU, and I want you to hear this testimony. Matt Lindsay is going to come and talk to us right now. FPU is an incredible program that will help you change your financial setting and destiny if you'll embrace it. The church offers it periodically. We're going to offer it starting next year. Matt Lindsay are coming to tell you how it's impacted their lives.
Good morning. Matt and I got married in 2012, and one of our friends actually gifted us the FPU class as a wedding gift. We were both kind of like, oh, great, a thing we have to go and commit 9 weeks of our lives to. But the class started shortly after we came home from our honeymoon, and so we went. We had good intentions of using what we learned in the class to get out of debt and slowly started making some progress. But to be honest, I wasn't that thrilled or committed.
We ended up putting down our debt-free journey in 2015 for various reasons, and some life happened. And then after we had Felix in July of 2017, we started navigating through all the medical bills and realized that we were never going to be able to retire at our current pace. We were using credit cards, had a car payment, several loan payments, and we weren't making hardly any progress. We had to do something. At the end of October 2017, after we had paid off all of our medical bills associated with Felix's birth, we sat down together while Felix was asleep and set up a plan to get out of debt and agreed to do it together.
At first, we were not on the same page. I was comfortable with the debt we had. A car payment, student loans, a loan from the down payment on our house seemed like what I called necessary debt. I told Matt all the time, it's not like I went to the mall, racked up a bunch of credit card debt on clothes, but even though we owed money on things that seemed reasonable, it was still keeping him up at night. He devised a plan to pay down all the debt as quickly as possible, and all of a sudden, our money was on lockdown. No spending, no extras, no fun. In fact, at one point, which he doesn't remember, but I do, it might have been suggested that we eat nothing but rice and beans for 6 months. Together, we came up with a revised plan to still have fun in the midst of debt paydown intensity. Matt began being the master of spreadsheets. He showed me our future trajectory and of carrying out this debt plan and showed us what our future would look like.
It took us about a year to pay off our first debt around the end of 2018. That's also when things got really challenging. We were about halfway through our plan. We were both tired, ready to be done. We knew we had over a year left, and it seemed like we were always busy, always working. And then things were starting to suffer, and our marriage was a little strained. In the beginning of 2019, Pastor Brad asked us all to give 1% towards missions on top of the 10% towards tithe. At first, Lindsay and I both agreed that we were not going to do that. Things were tight, and that extra 1% didn't fit into our plan. Basically, we ignored God and decided to continue down our own path. When we did that, all this bad stuff started to happen. Cars were breaking down. Jobs went from bad to worse. Our goal to be debt-free was slipping further and further behind. Then in June, I felt the Lord speaking to me, saying that I needed to honor the request to give 1% to missions. As a deacon in the church, I needed to lead by example. This was tough for me. It went against everything I thought I knew. But I took this to Lindsay, and we talked about it.
When Matt told me he wanted to pay another 1%, my reaction was, no. Everything extra that we had, which wasn't much, was spoken for. But being married means that you compromise. So I said, I will give you 1 month, and if things don't get better, we're going to stop paying that extra 1%. Almost immediately, things started changing. I felt the Lord tell me to apply for a specific job and to do it that day. The next day, I was hired for that job, which conflicted with my current job schedule. I didn't realize it then, but I was actually about to be forced out of a job that I hated, only to have an amazing opportunity already lined up. Car repairs stopped. We were seeing blessing after blessing. At the end of the month, I didn't even miss the 1%. And then in August, I decided to open my Etsy shop again for the holidays to make a little extra money, and it took off more than we could have ever imagined. Matt and I now get to work together doing something that we both enjoy. I'm working 100% for myself, and I get to do what I love. The crazy thing is that those things are what have helped us to make the biggest strides financially.
Our debt-free goal started coming back to the left. We started to see great success, but it still wasn't easy. We were working hard. I was coming home at the end of a long day and immediately taking over so Lindsay could go work, either making pegs or teaching a class. But we were actually enjoying it now. We had a plan, and we were on the same page, working towards the same goals, and now we had the favor of the Lord on our side. We scraped the bottom of the barrel and made our final debt payment December of 2019. We paid off $62,000 in 26 months, and then we all know what happened a couple short months later.
Going into the pandemic without debt was a huge blessing. We didn't have to worry that I was forced out of work for 6 months. And the blessings have continued throughout the year because God has seen that we're responsibly managing our money the way He intended us to. This year, we were able to save our 3-month emergency fund, buy a car with cash, purchase several appliances that have been degrading, and make other purchases that we would have never been able to do if we had still been in debt. Being out of debt has enabled us to invest heavily in retirement and to give generously when we see a need.
FPU helped us to not only change our lives, but also set our son up for financial freedom for the rest of his life, which was our big why going into this after he was born. Proverbs 13:22 says that a good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children. It's been a crazy ride, but it has taught us that if we honor the Lord above all else, work together, set goals, focus on the why, and have a plan, we can accomplish anything together. If we can do it, anyone can do it. The church has a great opportunity for you to take FPU starting on January 18th, going through March 15th. I'll be leading the class, and we'll have a Zoom link set up as well. This class is also open to the public, so invite your friends, whether they're Christians or not. This church believes in this program so much that we're only asking you that call this church home to pay $75 of the normal $130 registration fee. We're not making any money on this. We're going to be investing into this. This is a great deal that you're not going to want to miss. Please do not let the cost of this program keep you from attending. If the cost is a problem, talk to the church office or me. We'll work it out. Thank you.
Amen. 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 The kids still cost $130. The difference is being paid by this church. Okay? We're going to pay for it because that's how much we believe it will help you. Okay? So you wonder, you know, when you give, that money just gets reinvested back into the kingdom of God, into you, into other places. You know that, right? And so, hallelujah. As we get ready to receive the Lord's tithes and our offerings, you guys have been doing great on that. Thank you. Let's finish the year strong. You've been doing really, really well at that. Proud of you. Thanks for taking that step of faith with us this year. Just let me just tell you this quick, like you know how to give online, but so here's just, I want you to be aware of this. Some of you saw this picture of my cross-carrying friend, Joe DeMauro. And I saw Joe and talked to him a little bit. And I said, Joe, I want to help you. I want to help you. I'm going to help you get some of your own cards, your own witnessing cards, your own faith-sharing cards, your own Jesus loves cards. And so this church is going to invest. Joe does not attend this church. But anybody that walks 14 miles carrying a wooden cross deserves a little help. So this church is going to invest $150 to help Joe. Again, he doesn't come here. And he goes to another church. But we just want to bless him in his ministry. So we're going to do that. Okay? And so, I mean, because of your generosity, we can do things like that. I got a call from my friends in Pakistan. And the picture on the screen, these kids in Pakistan, I've been to this location myself. I've been there. Okay? And seen this, okay, myself, okay? And some of these kids live in the brickyard. The brickyard is where the poorest of the poor live. They work for $1 a day making bricks. I've been right there, with them. And my friend, Pastor Noman, and his wife, Sobi, they are going to give them Christmas. This church on Friday sent $300 to help kids, orphans, kids that live in the brickyards, kids whose parents are the poorest of the poor, kids that have no Christmas whatsoever, except this church sent $300, which is a lot of money over there, to help enable them, and we'll have show the pictures later when they do it, you know, to give these kids Christmas in the name of Jesus. Yeah. You did that. You did that. These are Christians living in a Muslim country where it's dangerous. They called me one night. They called me and they said, pray for me. They called me from Pakistan, Lahore, Pakistan. They called me from the home that I had been in, okay? And they said, pray for us, brother. It's not safe. And they were very scared. And thankfully, it's gotten better. But, Lord, we pause before we receive this offering. And I think of Noman and Sobi and Ron and their other children. I think of them. And, Lord, I pray you continue to protect them, give them strength. Lord, Noman's father needs a healing touch. And I just pray that you would just empower their ministry there in Lahore. And Lord, as we have invested a lot through the years, may it be used to bring glory to your great name there in that country. Thanks, Father. Amen, friends? Amen. Amen. So that's, when you give that 1%, that's one of the places that it goes, right there, to help them. And so thank you for your generosity. You're the ones that make that happen. Glory to God. Lots of ways to give. You can give out there, at the kiosk. You can give online. You can give through the app. You can go to the website. There's so many different ways that you can give. Thanks for being faithful. Amen. Are you ready to jump in to the Word of God for a few moments? Are you ready? You know, so when the alarm goes off in this building, it's rarely a good thing. And on that Sunday night when it went off, I was like, oh no. I immediately called James. I said, James, you just had a meeting in the fireplace room and the alarm is going off. Something tripped in the fireplace room. Did you leave a window open? Something, he said, I don't know. No, everything was fine. I expected the police to respond. I quickly made my way over here. And James said, well, do you want me to meet you? I said, sure, meet me over there. So the time I got here, the police were still not here. But James had already been here, went around the backside of the building, drove around. Nothing was askew. And so I said, well, let's go inside. Let's find out. This is kind of weird. So the two of us walked in the building. Police still not here. And thankfully that happened because we discovered that there was a problem with their dispatching and the police never did come. We got that resolved, thank God. So James and I made our way down the hallway and thinking, what in the world are we going to find? What are we going to find? I got down to the fireplace room, which is over here, and I noticed that the light was off and that the door was locked. I thought, this is very odd. Opened the door, threw on the light, looked in, there was nothing, zero. And then my eye caught it. Sure enough, in the corner was an escapee. An escape balloon. And we soon discovered that two wise men had been led to Seaport by a star. Well, so what's up with the star? What's up with the wise men? And I gave James and I the benefit of the doubt by calling us wise men. But anyway, what's up with the real wise men and the star? Now, what was that star all about? I mean, is it the conjunction of Saturn and Jupiter that's supposed to happen tomorrow night that hasn't happened since 1226, won't happen for another 800 years? They think that, some say that was the Bethlehem star because it did happen in about 7 BC, you know? And so they think, well, was that it? I don't really know. Was it? I tend to think more it was a supernatural event that God created that he used to lead those men from the east, as Matthew says, all the way to that little village of Bethlehem. Who were those guys anyway? Who were the wise men, the magi? We three kings of Orient are, traveled afar? No, they weren't kings. They were scholars. They were academics, most likely. They were government consultants. They may have been practitioners in like some dark arts. They may have been that. They were a combination of astronomer, astrologer. That's who those guys were. And they were the same group of men. They were probably come from like the Babylon, Persia area. They probably were the same group of guys that Daniel had been, and he's three Hebrew friends, and Daniel 1 had been recruited for to be trained in the ways of Babylon, modern-day Iraq. Probably those same group of wise men, intelligentsia, consultants to the king. Probably that same group. But the question is, how did those guys figure out that a star had something to do with the birth of a king? How'd those guys figure it out? They weren't Jewish. Most likely, this is how they put it together. Most likely that this group of very educated individuals probably had gotten access to the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, the law of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, as well as the prophets, because, remember, 500 years before, the people of God had been taken as exiles by King Nebuchadnezzar to the land of Babylon, again, modern-day Iraq, had been taken as captives there and held in exile for 70 years. They had brought their sacred writings with them. Most likely, the people that were put in charge of overseeing the exiles there studied the Jewish law and the culture and the regulations to understand these exiles, be able to manage them effectively. And they probably, from that, understood from Genesis 49 and from Numbers 24 the prophecy of a star that would signal the birth of a king. They put that all together and they said, we've got to go and see this. So Matthew writes this about them in chapter 2. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw a star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. Interesting. Matthew doesn't give us a lot of details, so we need to be careful. But it's interesting. Their mission was to worship, to adore, to pay homage to the newborn king. That's why they came. You know, I mean, for them, adoration was more than singing, oh, come, let us adore him. Although I love that song and probably going to sing it later. It was more than a 65-minute church service. It was more than a 75-minute Wednesday night service. It was more than doing a few religious things. Adoration for them was everything. They came to worship. And I want to share with you several things that they teach us about worship and about adoration. Here's the very first thing that the wise men, the magi, teach us. And these, remember, these men are limited in their scope and their understanding and maybe aren't even true God-fearers and followers. Maybe aren't. We don't really know. But the very first thing that they teach us is that adoration can be challenging. Think about this. Probably not everybody wanted to go on this several month long journey. I mean, it was dangerous. It was risky. It would take them through known territories where there's a good probability that they would be robbed or worse. They knew that. Not everybody would want to take some kind of a journey like that. And they're probably, I'm going to surmise this for just a moment, there were probably those in their academic community that probably said, what, you guys are going to go do what? I'm not doing that. I mean, you guys have been reading this stuff in this book, and now you're going to start chasing ghost tales and fairy tales. Oh, yeah, now you guys are conspiracy theorists. No way, man. We're not playing that. No, we're not going to. We're not going to risk our credibility doing that nonsense. No thanks. But they had done the research, and they set out. Adoration can be challenging. It can be risky. You start following Jesus, not everybody's going to go with you. And some may think, you're a nut. And there will be some difficult moments along the way, and there will be some scary things that could happen to you. But look at what those men and their entourage experience. Look at the impact that they make. Look at the place in history that they gain. Because they took the risk to go and worship. Worship can be challenging. It can be scary. But let me ask you this. As this year wraps up, and I know some of us are just hoping it all ends December the 31st. As this year ends and we go into 2021, are you willing to take a risk, get out of the comfort zone, and step out and say, whatever risk is necessary, I'm going to go and worship the King? Are you willing to take that risk? Or do you want to live in the comfort zone? They could have stayed in the comfort zone, but they didn't. Here's an interesting thing about those who remained in the comfort zone. You never hear a thing about them, do you? It's only those guys that came and risked it all. You ever wonder why they showed up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh? It's been said that if it was wise women instead of wise men, they would have brought the appropriate gifts like bottles and diapers and appropriate clothing for baby Jesus. Maybe a nice change of clothes for Mary. Well, it was wise men. It was wise men who came, you know. Interesting. Those gifts were costly. They were expensive. It's quite possible that, it's expensive and it's costly. They knew they were coming to worship a king, and these are gifts that were suitable for a king. I mean, after all, when you go to worship a king, you don't bring McDonald's gift certificates. You know, I mean, you bring gifts that are suitable. And I thought about that. And what does it teach us about adoration? Those men were thoughtfully generous. Was it just three men? It's quite possible that there was a group. There was possible that there was a conversation that kind of went like this. Hey, we're going to go on this journey over to see the newborn king, and we want to get him some gifts. You in on this, man? Can we cash in for some, like, for 20? Everybody could have pitched in and bought three gifts. It could have been like that. We don't really know. Were they just expensive gifts, or did they have significant meaning? We don't know, but follow with me for a moment, and let's just kind of theorize for just a moment. That brought gold. Now, gold is good on any occasion. If you show up at a baby shower with gold, most likely you'll be hit. Okay? Gold, it speaks of royalty. It speaks of value. It speaks of something precious. Our rings are often made out of gold, preciousness. It speaks of that, value, power. Speaks of all of that. Yet, gold was more than that. You see, in the Holy of Holies, that inner sanctum, that inner room in the temple, that place of centralized worship for the Jews, in that place, in the most sacred of places, the Holy of Holies, was the presence of God that rested over the Ark of the Covenant, which was made out of what? Gold. The walls of the Holy of Holies were lined with gold. Could it be that the wise men, either intentionally or unwittingly, were bringing a gift that signaled that Jesus was coming from the very presence of the living God? Could it be? They brought gifts of frankincense, not Frankenstein, frankincense. It's a resin that's used to create incense. They're in that part of the world. Incense is used often to bring fragrance to a home or to be an air freshener of some sort. But most likely, most commonly, and if you've been in various places, the incense is used in worship to signify praise and worship, to signify presence and glory and adoration. Frankincense was very valuable, very costly. But it is interesting. It says this in the instructions to the priests in the temple, that they were to burn incense that was only pure frankincense. Could it be that this was representative of the purity of Jesus, whose life was a form of praise and worship to God Almighty? Could it be? The third gift was myrrh. Myrrh, if you'll remember, was a spice that was blended with oil, and it was used to anoint the body of Jesus after he was crucified. Remember that? It was put into the tomb. But again, it was blended with oil. Not only as kind of a perfume or as a cologne, but it was also blended. And notice what it was used for. The priests were given instructions to blend myrrh with anointing oil. And they were to anoint themselves and to anoint all the instruments that they used in worship as a way of saying that these are dedicated to the purposes of God, to be used exclusively for his use. Could it be that myrrh was used to signify that Jesus, the anointed one, the Messiah, was coming to give his life a sacrifice for you? Did those men know that? It's quite possible. They were very familiar with the Old Testament. They would have read it in Exodus chapter 30. Did they intend that? Or was it simply the orchestration of the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I don't know what it was. Those very precious gifts, odd baby gifts, but God never gives you something that's disconnected. There's always a purpose. There's a reason. Little did Joseph and Mary know from their place there in Bethlehem that suddenly there would be an incredible shift politically, and they would have to flee. Suddenly they would have to pick up and flee 100 miles to Egypt and there care for themselves until it was safe to return. Herod was off the scene. How do you fund a journey like that? It's probably the wealth that came to them from the Magi. When God blesses you with an unusual blessing, He's not expecting that you're just going to heap it upon yourself. He may have an intended purpose that you don't see yet. Be careful how you handle it. This past year and then coming into 2021, are you going to be thoughtfully generous? And how? Have you been thoughtfully generous this year? Have you honored the Lord? Have you come to Him and given liberally and generously and thoughtfully? Will you do that in 2021? Will you give Him gifts that are suitable for a king? Or are you going to tip Him $5 and go, I feel good about that? This message will have several seatbelt moments. You just encountered one. Hang on, there's more. I realized something. This journey took time, and adoration takes time. It takes time. Sometimes, you know, the best way that we signal value to people is that we spend time with them. We engage with them. I know this year has been unusual, and some of us have spent so much time with some people, we don't ever want to see them again. You know, I mean, you know, like, whoa, man, it's like overkill. I get that. But generally speaking, we spend the time that we spend with people signals their value to us. The months-long journey that the wise men took from the east most likely was about 900 miles. And you can see the trajectory. You can see the itinerary behind me. Okay, from Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem and then back home another way. They were gone for months on end. All to spend a few minutes with Jesus and His parents. But they considered it worthwhile. Adoration is an expression of life, not merely just coming to church and clicking the box. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Rome about worship and adoration. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the very best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. No, no. Instead, give your attention to God. You'll be changed from the inside out. I love that. If you're new to Seaport, this is how we're not trying to make you religious. Religious means to follow a whole set of rules and hope to please God. That doesn't work. It's boring as I don't know what to. No. When you learn to adore Jesus, He changes your heart and your desires, and He changes you from the inside out. You don't want to just follow rules. You just want to follow Him because of your relationship with Him. It's a whole different gig. Whole different thing, you know. And these men came to adore Him. You know, and when you adore Him, you know what? Your entire life will change, you know. But it takes time. It isn't quick. It isn't easy. It starts with a decision to follow Jesus like these guys did. But it took time. It will take time. Did you in 2021, did you really allocate time to the Lord? Or was it easy just to kind of step off to the sidelines and not do that? In 2021, are you going to say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to make sure that You're my priority. I'm going to put You first. I'm going to set aside special time to adore You and to focus on You. Not just doing church time, but really stepping into relationship, whether it's online prayer or something else. What are you going to do? When they arrived at the house of Jesus, I'm about to blow some images away, so just be prepared. When they arrived at the house where Jesus and His parents were. Now I know you've seen all kinds of images. And even then up here, we had a bunch of kids around a manger. And we had, you see that one? Who was that kid that kept patting the baby Jesus? You see that? I don't know which one was that. Who kept doing that? We had the cows, we had the sheep, and you know, we had the shepherd, and we had we had all those, and then brought up the wise men. And the wise men showed up like right after the shepherds. No, they didn't. Most likely they showed up about 18 to 24 months later. Jesus was probably a toddler at that time. The Bible seems to indicate that gives us a clue. We don't know that for sure, but it gives us some clues. That's probably what it was. Probably 18 to 24 months when the wise men show up. Now picture this with me. They're in a town of about 600 people. There were no text messages that simply said, your presents have been shipped. They are at such and such post office. There was no email that said, there's going to be delivered today. Oh, they're there now. There wasn't any of that. Suddenly, the wise men show up at the door. Now, let me blow away something else. There were not three wise men. People have surmised that there were three wise men because there were three gifts. Just conjecture. There could have been as many as 40. Because caravans in that day traveled with up to 40 because it wasn't safe. Kind of like the old wagon trains. They often traveled in groups of about 40. So can you imagine 40 camels showing up to your door? And Jesus, and Mary's now got to wrangle the 18 to 24-month-old Jesus, who says, presents? For me? Picture that with me. I know we think, oh, it was at night and it was still, and Jesus. And it wasn't like that. And so this Christmas, when your toddler is like destroying everything in your world, just go, oh, thank you, Jesus, that they're here. So these guys came. But it's interesting what they did, isn't it? They come and they unpack their stuff and they come. And they present their gifts. And they bow down to the King of Glory. When you meet the King of Glory, there is no one higher. There is no better posture to assume than humility. Adoration simply says, He is the Lord Most High. Only He is worthy. Him alone. Humility is that which causes you to take your focus off yourself. It causes you to reduce your pride. It causes you to say, this year I've got to deal with this. This year I've got to confront this. This year I've got to resolve this. This year I've just got to go, I'm going to face this and do it. That's what humility does. You're going to hang on to your pride and allow it to keep you from bowing down in front of Jesus and finding life? Are you going to allow your pride to keep you from finding the freedom that you can have if you'll only confront and deal with those things? And finally admit it and deal with it? How long are you going to be a prisoner of your own pride? They bowed down and they worshiped. It's interesting to note that their humility caused them to have an encounter with God, not only in the form of Jesus, the toddler, but the Spirit of God spoke to them and told them, do not go back to Herod. They had met with Herod on the way in, and they expected Herod to help them. And Herod said, Oh, hey, when you as soon as you find this kid, let me know. I want to go and worship him. But he was just a political despot. He was an evil man. They're warned not to go back and tell him, and they go home a different way. When you meet Jesus, you'll go home differently. The whole direction of your life will change. You will never be the same when you meet Jesus. He'll step into your life and he'll guide you from things and set you on a whole new path if you'll open your heart to him. As we begin to roll, as we're going to start rolling the credits, as it were, on this service in just a moment, I want to go back and I just want to look quickly at the cast of Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Of course, there's the wise men, the magi, who we've met in detail. They came to worship even though they didn't fully grasp who Jesus was. Like so many of the Jewish people themselves, they thought that Jesus was more of a political figure who was going to come and free them from the tyranny of the Romans. They didn't understand. I don't know if they really understood. I don't think they did. But Maybe they did, but I don't think that they really understood that Jesus came not as a political figure, but as one who came to set men free from the most rugged, difficult territory known to man, and that is called the human heart that is bent on rebellion. He came to set us free and to bring us out of a bondage to ourselves and to bring peace into our lives. That's the Prince of Peace right there, the Prince of Peace. And they came to worship and they stepped into something far greater than they could have ever known. But I want you to look at two other members of the cast in Matthew chapter 12, chapter 2. Two other members, of course, King Herod. King Herod, when he heard that the king of the Jews had been born from the Magi, he saw Jesus as a political rival that would threaten his power, take away his position. And he went to extreme, read it yourself, he went to extreme lengths to protect his power from a perceived threat. Some things don't change, do they? Yep. Let me say this to you gently, if you're here today. I've had many conversations with people who say things like this to me. Like Herod wanted to keep control of his power. People have said to me, I don't want to follow Jesus because I want to be in control of my own life. I said, well, you can do that, but you'll find what everybody else has found. Herod found wreckage and ruin and death. You see, when you release the control of your life to Jesus, he brings you into peace, significance, meaning, easiness, I didn't say that, life and purpose. Jesus said, if you follow him, if you die to yourself, you'll find life. That's what he said. Herod chose power and control and found death and loss. If you find Jesus, you find life and meaning. Who are you going to be? Are you going to be the wise men? Are you going to be like Herod? Or how about those priests? How about the professors of the law? How about those teachers of the law who knew all the details of their religion? They were religious practitioners to the max. They knew every little nuance of every little thing, and they taught it with great passion and pomp and pride. When Herod called them in and had a secret meeting with them, see, secret political meetings aren't new either, are they? He had a secret meeting with them, and he said, hey, these guys just showed up, and they said something about there's going to be a king of the Jews born. What do you guys know about this? I go, yeah, we know all about that, dude. Really, just chill. We've got that. We know. He's going to be born. Micah, 700 years ago, said he was going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Ah, you know about that? Yeah, we know all about that. Some religious people know all the facts. Take great pride in their religion. Because they have no life. Listen to this. These men, these priests, these teachers of the law, professors, they knew that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. And now they're being told that it's happening. Don't you think they would have like run over to Bethlehem to see it for themselves? There's no indication that they moved. Do you know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? 7 miles. I've been to Bethlehem. If you and I were there, Jerusalem to Bethlehem, 7 miles. And yet these religious people couldn't move out of their seats, as it were. Hang on, buck your seatbelt. There's a lot of religious people running around, and they think they're okay, and they think they're good, and they got, because they know this, and they know that. But you know what? Unless you've met Jesus, and he's touched and transformed your life, your religion is worthless. It's about the King of Glory. My question as I close is this. Who will you be? Will you be Herod, who is threatened and won't release. And we'll go to every kind of extreme that you can to keep from trusting Jesus, relinquishing as it were the power and the control of your life to him. Will you be Herod? Will you be the religious people who couldn't be bothered? We don't need that. Are you going to be the wise men who were by the Jews looked down upon, but they're the ones who came and who found Jesus and whose lives were changed? You will be one. Who will you be? What will you be? I'm going to pray. The band is going to come. We're going to close. And you're going to make a decision today. You're going to make a decision where you stand. Is your decision going to be, I'm going to be a wise man. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to pursue him. I'm going to adore him. Are you going to be like Herod? Or are you going to be like the religious people? I implore you today, open your heart to him. You go home differently than how you came. Father God, I pray right now. There are those who need to make a decision right here and right now. And I pray that they do. I pray they don't leave here without making a decision to follow you, to meet Jesus, and to experience life and go home a different way. We thank you, O God, that you love them enough to maybe use me to speak the truth somewhat clearly and directly. But I pray that, God, that their hearts would be open, their minds would be receptive. And I pray that every single one of us make a decision that this year, if we haven't already, and this moment, if we haven't already, are going to step into that pursuit of adoration of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Stand with me. We're going to sing this song. If you're here today, if you're online and you've never met Jesus, but you're saying, you know what? Today I'm going to meet him. Today I want to meet him. Then just do something simple and text the word new life, one word, to the number they'll put on the screen. That'll help us to know that you're making a decision to follow Jesus. If you want to talk to me, you want to get more information, you can do that too. Be glad to talk to you. Someone here will be. Let's sing this song, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to dismiss us. Let's sing, "Oh Come, Let Us."
Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. For he alone is worthy.
Come on, lift your voices up and let's sing this. Come on, lift it up.
Is worthy,
for he alone is worthy.
He alone is worthy, Christ the Lord.
I want to sing that again. Come on, sing it. Let me hear you sing it. For he alone is worthy.
He alone is worthy.
Those of you online, you can sing it right there in your living room or in your car.
Give him all the
continue to play and I'm going to dismiss us. But if you're here today and you're making a commitment to follow Jesus, you say, well, I don't know if I know everything. You know what? When do you know everything about everything? I can just guarantee if you'll step in, your life will be different. It'll be changed. Just like mine was 40-some years ago. I'll never forget going home from church that day. I didn't expect to go to church. I didn't want to go to church. I had no plans to go to church. Let alone go home so radically different, I didn't recognize myself. I challenge you today to step in and follow Jesus. To go home differently. Just simply do this. Please, I implore you. Just please, just simply say, Jesus, I'm not sure I understand everything, but I know I need you, and I'm taking a chance, and I'm opening my life. I'm opening my heart. I've come to worship you. Come and touch and change me. Forgive me. Heal me. Renew me. Thank you. And watch him do it. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had this morning. I'm going to dismiss us. If you're 65 and above, or your immunity is compromised, feel free. Just go ahead and slip out of us. Please consider wearing a mask on your way out of here, please. And as you pick up your kids, please don't forget to pick them up. I know you may want to pick them up after Christmas, but I would prefer you pick them up now. Make sure you participate. Let's make Christmas Eve amazing for the kids and for us. Amen. Those of you in these two center sections, you're free to go. God bless you. Be careful as you move through the parking lot. I know it's icy out there.